Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And we're going to see with this guest where the love letter is lurking. You know, people talk about any given day, and I can always see about three people that really could get a love letter from whatever your experience is during the day. And by the way, you could be one of those people. But we'll see. Let's start talking to Natalie Lander, today's guest. And Natalie is an actress, and you do a lot of voiceover work also, you said?
Yes, that's correct.
And you said for 10 years.
Yes, I've been acting professionally for 10 years, but I've always grown up in sort of the world of acting.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you about that because, first of all, I gather that's true because you don't look very old, so 10 years would take you probably into a really young age.
Well,
you don't have to say, I'm not even asking you. I'm just telling you what I see.
I have good genes.
Okay,
we'll put it that way.
Well, you know, I saw a video of you singing with Polly Bergen, and it said with your grandmother.
Yes.
She's actually your grandmother?
Yes. So
can you just tell us a little bit about how this family runs?
Yeah, well, this family is an interesting melting pot of performers and industry people.
Mm-hmm.
My mom married my dad, and he's an actor. His name is David L. Lander,
mm-hmm.
and he played Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yes, that's where I know that name. Oh, my goodness, of course. I know this isn't about me, but that does lead to a whole bunch of my favorite people, starting with, okay.
It's such a fun
yes.
one, I feel like.
Really?
And then my mom, actually, she grew up in an entertainment household. She's not an actress, but her father was a man named Freddie Fields, who was a big agent.
I know that name, too.
Back in his day.
Mm-hmm.
And he handled Judy Garland and the Rat Pack, all these people.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty amazing. And then he...
Now, you knew him?
I did.
I mean, you grew up knowing him. That's nice.
I grew up knowing him. He passed away about 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then he was married 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
One is to my mom's birth mother, and her name was Edith Fellows. And she was a silent movie star, mm-hmm. child actress in the 30s, and did over 70 films before the time she was 18. One of those. And then his second wife was Polly Bergen.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Polly actually raised my mom.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom grew up calling her mom, and I grew up calling her grandma.
Sure, sure.
And she passed away last year.
I know, I was aware of that because I must say, she was always one of my favorites.
Mine too.
Well, yes, I know. But yes, of course she was. That's so beautiful and something so solid about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she...
Well, those blue eyes, for starters.
Yeah, and
that dark hair.
And she's tall, and she has such a presence to her, and
mm-hmm.
and she's so classy. She wrote this book. It was pretty awesome, and I have it, actually, mm-hmm. called, I don't know the exact title off the top of my head, but it's like, oh, what shall I wear, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a social etiquette book about every type of
oh, an actual
event.
Serious one.
Yeah.
Oh,
and what to wear. And I've used it.
Now, how have you used it? Because when she was growing up or when
mm-hmm.
she was, I mean, I remember her, well, in so many movies, and styles were totally different. I mean, what she wore to different things and what was considered proper etiquette in the 50s.
Yeah, is totally different now. It was
right.
interesting because.
So how do you translate that to your life?
Well, it's funny because when I read it today, it actually feels very timeless.
In what way?
I opened it because for her memorial, I didn't know what to wear. So I decided to consult the book, and it was really interesting what she said. And she said, you know, you don't have to wear all black. You
mm-hmm.
don't have to, you know, show up with a veil over your head. It's about wearing colors that are somber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to show up in neon pink, but you can... It's very appropriate to wear just a darker color. And
uh-huh.
so I actually wore a maroon floral dress because I felt like
yes.
that's what she would want me to wear.
So you're touching on something. So it's more about what she says about what is good etiquette.
Yes.
It can translate to everything.
Yeah.
So even though it's appropriate to wear black skinny jeans and a dressy top to any of the best, fanciest restaurants,
mm-hmm.
where you could not have done that in 1952...
Yeah.
Without getting carted away.
Well, she was pretty progressive also. There was a whole section on, I want to say, something to do with weddings. I want to say bridal showers and things. And And she was talking about the mother of the bride and what's appropriate for the mother of the bride. And she had felt that a smart pantsuit was appropriate for the mother of a bride.
Yes.
You didn't have to wear a dress.
So it's a large part of that, which I think is what etiquette is.
Mm-hmm.
The message you're giving to somebody else in how you dress more than what you wear.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, taking somebody else's feelings into account or just bothering to dress as a courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about for a funeral, although that too, but bothering for a dinner party, for example.
Yeah.
Somebody's gone to a lot of work to do something beautiful for you and you want to reciprocate that feeling
mm-hmm.
by dressing beautifully.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that the kind of...
That's what the book, I think the message of the book is.
Oh, I'm going to get myself a copy of this.
Yeah, it's actually called I'd Love To, But What Shall I Wear?
Oh, that is so good. Okay. Yeah, so talk about, if you would for a minute, just talk about your parents and your dad. And I mean, I'll tell you, the thing here that has always fascinated me
mm-hmm.
is although I'm not particularly meaningful to your father, he was in my house once a week regularly
mm-hmm.
and until reruns when he was in my house more often. So the intimacy doesn't go both ways.
Yeah, it's...
So I think for that reason, people are interested in...
Yeah, it was... Well, first of all, he's my favorite person on the planet. Oh. I love my dad. He's the cutest. He's the best. He's just the best.
That was clear from his role.
I know. Yeah. And, you know, my dad was diagnosed with MS.
I remember that a long time ago.
Yeah. Yes. And so he's had it for almost 30 years
yes.
now. And, but he's, you know, he... never ceases to amaze me. I mean, he has the best outlook.
Oh, that's so nice to hear because I remember in the beginning reading a couple of things and it was very clear how difficult
mm-hmm.
that was for him. I mean,
yeah.
Who wouldn't it be difficult for? But
yeah, and he's not like one of those people that's like overly positive in like a way where he's like, you know, he's not spiritual. He's very basic and down to earth and, mm-hmm. you know, in that basicness, he has a very positive outlook, whether he realizes it or not. He's just sort of go with the flow. He's like, yeah, well, you know.
And he's active in support groups or the world of helping people get through.
Yeah.
How does he do that?
He was for a long time touring and giving, like talking speeches and things like that. And then since then, travel's just gotten a little hard
for
him.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, he's always, you know, involved. And I know he's very independent despite having this, what
you I can tell how good he is from the look on your face, which is
yeah.
just pure smiling love.
Yeah, he's so yes. great. He leaves me the funniest voicemails. I save all of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
yes.
My voicemail box.
How do you save them?
I just have them sitting on my phone.
Well, here's my question. Those are going to be valuable.
I mean,
they are, I shouldn't say going to be, they are valuable.
Yeah.
Is there a way you can save them off of your phone somehow forever for you? And
I don't know. I have to look into it. There's some kind of, I think there's a program I can use where I like plug it in and it will.
Would you want to do that?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, what about if someday you have children?
Yeah.
And grandchildren to be able to pass this on.
Definitely. And also I could use a little more room in my voicemail
box. Oh, good. Oh, yes. Your voicemail is full.
I can only get one voicemail at a time.
Okay. Which is going to be bad if he wants you to leave you more also. You need
That's
to leave
true.
More room for him.
You're right.
So talk about you now.
Okay.
Your first work and what you love to do and what your life is like.
Well, as a kid, I always grew up with like a passion for being creative. And, you know, I think seeing your dad on TV, it was just natural that I wanted to do that too.
And was it natural to see your dad on TV?
And at first it was very confusing. There's this story that my parents tell me that, I mean, I obviously don't remember. I think I was about 5 and I saw my dad on TV and he walked out the TV door, the door on the TV, and I ran around the back of the TV to see if like a tiny little dad would pop out.
Yes. I think that's not uncommon for kids in the early days of TV.
Yeah.
To think there were actually people in there.
People in there. So yeah, so it was a little, you know, it was confusing, but I really was excited by it, and I would beg my parents every day to let me be a child actor. And they were very adamant that I needed to go to school mm-hmm. and graduate and have a normal, quote, normal childhood.
And did you?
And I did. And they let me do theater. So I was very involved in like school theater, but also community theater. They did let me do some voiceover starting out so that, you know, if I did get a job, it would only take away a little bit of school. And then when I went to college, I studied theater. And after college is when I started to really pursue TV and film.
Okay. And that was the 10 years ago.
That was 10 years
ago. So you
ago.
Do have good genes. Okay.
Yeah.
You were like 6 10 years ago. Okay.
I was a prodigy child.
Yes. Now, go back a minute to that, you know, that having a normal life. And you're such a sweet person. I mean, I met you, 12 minutes ago. And I could see as you walked in the door what a kind, sweet human being you are.
Oh, nice.
And now I'm listening to you, so I know that's true. But I saw a video of you playing a role. I saw a video.
Oh.
Yes. And you were assuring some other girl that she couldn't be a cheerleader.
Oh, I was, yeah.
You were so convincingly mean, which
yes.
just shows what a good actor you are. But what was that?
So I've been working on this show called The Middle. It's mm-hmm. it's on ABC on Wednesdays, and it's been on for 7 seasons, or I'm sorry, 6 seasons,
mm-hmm.
7 seasons, I don't know. And I've been recurring on it for the past 5.
As
I play Debbie, the mean head cheerleader of the school.
How do you tap into that?
Well, it's funny because I feel like I knew those girls in high school, and they were not nice to me.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I kind of feel like I draw from that experience where I'm like, I know this girl.
Okay, so I was just curious how you did that. And so who would not be nice to you?
I don't know, right?
Just normal adolescent,
you know, teenager, yeah, clicky. And I was like, I definitely was, I mean, I'm still dorky now, but I now embrace it. But as a kid, I was like, you know, I had braces. I had adult acne.
Your skin was going through.
But like in middle school and high school, I had like really bad skin.
Oh.
And, you know,
I can't see and know from here. Okay.
I've worked hard to get rid of all that. But, you know, it's like things where you're a target in high school, unfortunately, which is sad. But I made it through.
Do you ever... I'm just curious because one woman who was a guest
mm-hmm.
here talked about how awful the children were to her in grammar school. They were mean. And I don't know if you would know her, Diana Jordan. And she's an actress, cerebral palsy since birth. And kids were not nice to her. And once she started getting work and being a public figure, these same kids were finding her on Facebook. They're adults now and saying, oh, hello, you know.
So interesting.
So interesting. And my question was, and you want to talk to them? They were so vile to you? She said, sure, we're grown-ups now.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard from anybody who was...
Yeah, I have. I had one girl that was sort of like a bully to me where I actually was friends with her. And she sort of like manipulated me and like... She really used a lot of scare tactics to make me be her friend. And I was afraid to upset her mm-hmm. and think that she would turn everyone against me. This was in middle school.
That's why you were afraid of her.
Yeah, I was very afraid. I actually left that school because I didn't want to go back to be around
terrible.
This girl.
Yeah.
But I did run into her maybe like 2 years ago, and she was like, oh my gosh, you know.
And she has no memory?
No memory of it. And that's what I wonder is that's why I feel like it's not really the people themselves. It's just sort of this social, like, disease that happens.
Okay,
you know?
So yes, it's a social disease that will tap into somebody's weakness, their own weakness.
And then that's where they kind of play along with it. But I don't think, you know, I don't think she was a sociopath, you know, even though in middle school she kind of behaved that way.
Because I think those, oh my God, how are you, should start with, oh my God, how are you? I am so sorry that I was so awful to you so long ago. I'm so glad I'm having this chance to apologize.
Yeah, that would be.
And that's not there in some people.
Yeah, they just don't remember, I guess. They grew out of it.
Yes. Oh, that's a very kind way to look at the world. So tell me more about your journey.
My journey. So, yeah, when I got out of college, I started working in TV and film and... also voiceover, and it's been really good. It's like every year I feel like I kind of have built more than I did the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now I'm in a place where I, you know, when I started, I worked like 5 jobs. I worked at Disneyland as a performer. I worked as a cocktail waitress.
What were you at Disneyland?
I did a live version of High School Musical.
Oh, I see.
It was fun.
Okay. I didn't know whether that meant, you know, you could be Alice in Wonderland at one of those stopovers too.
Uh-huh. I wish. That would have been awesome. But yeah, I did like a parade there and I was a cocktail waitress at the same time. And, you know, now I'm in a place where I, you know, acting is my
full-time.
My career.
Good
and,
for you.
And so it feels nice. And I'm, you know, there were times when I was starting out and I was like, why do I have to be a waitress? I hate the, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, it really just makes me appreciate everything that I do have now a lot more. So I am grateful for
Well, good for you that you were taking care of yourself, though, along the way.
Yeah.
That is really something nice.
I made it through.
Yes. I mean, by working at other things.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting around.
Definitely. I've never been a sitter and waiter.
Good. Do you have, are you looking to something, like when you look ahead for you right now, do you have definite things that you have your eye on, or do you like the journey and you'll see what appears?
I mean, I try not to get too specific, you know, because sometimes I get disappointed and I don't want to, you know.
Well, what would your dream role be? Although, why not the one you have?
Right. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I used to think like the end all be all was to be a series regular on a sitcom, because that's what I grew up seeing.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't know. Now I feel like I've taken more of an interest in, I enjoy, maybe I like film more, or maybe I also, I've been writing, and recently my writing has been getting produced.
Good for you.
And so.
Where has that been getting produced, and what is it you're writing?
So one of them is a show for a company called Awesomeness TV, which is owned by DreamWorks, and it's an online digital channel for teens, and it's actually like a teen. I'm drawing from like my actual, you know, middle school life or high school life, and it's a sort of a survival guide for teenagers, and that's been a really fun.
How can we see that? Where do we find that?
Well, it's actually still in production, so
it won't be out
probably for a little bit. Yeah. So, but that's like been a really rewarding process, and it's the first time where I've written something without having me in it, and I thought that was going to be really difficult for my ego, and I'm actually like really enjoying it. And it doesn't mean that I don't want to be acting, but I feel okay and confident not being a part of it. I'm like, great, I can write it, I can produce it, I can make these decisions, and then I can step away and let the other people
do it. So you're just not visually in it, but it's you all over it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You're just in it in a different way, really.
I'm in it in a different way, and it still feels as fulfilling. So when I find things like that, I'm like, oh, wow, there's lots of different directions.
That's nice that you have your eye on being a regular in a sitcom, because sometimes you hear people who have been regulars in sitcoms. I mean, I can think of a handful that have just made such an important mark. And later they, you know, they want to do other things. They don't really, they want to be different than that. And they feel that they want to do more than that. They don't want to be typecast. They don't want to be seen as that person.
Right. I would be typecast.
I know. I think there's something beautiful about that. I mean, that, for example, Mallory in Family Ties, that actor put something, she put a creature in this world, a human being in this world.
Yeah.
So many people.
It's amazing. I mean, when I see the
Fonzie.
Way. Yeah. And the way people react to my dad and.
Yes, definitely.
You know,
yes.
I think it's a special thing, you know.
Lenny and Squiggy are two people we know well and who will be with us forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. So I think it would be a really cool thing. And I enjoy working, and I'm kind of a worker bee in general. Nice. So I feel like a schedule of a TV show would be good for me, because it would be like, all right, we're going for this amount of time, and I'd be busy. But you know, I'd be open to lots of things. I'm actually going to start a film tomorrow. And so that will be like a whole new
experience. Can you say what that is, or is that not to say
yet? Yeah, I think I can say it's called The Assistant. It's a thriller. And
when you say a film tomorrow, so this will be a movie out?
Oh, no, I'm actually starting shooting it tomorrow.
No, no, but I mean, is it a movie or television?
Okay. It'll be a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, and
so stay tuned for thriller.
Yeah, it's called The Assistant.
The Assistant.
So it's scary.
Okay. Is it scary to do it?
I don't know yet. I guess I'll find out.
What do you think? I mean, when you look at people who are
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually, this is the first time, you know, because comedy is kind of where I, like, feel comfortable in, and this is a drama thriller, and there's some things in the script where I'm like, oh, no, am I going to be able to do that? But I'm like, I think
it'll
be okay.
Without being terrified.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll see, and then we'll see when it's out.
I know. So it'll be a really good, it'll be a good stretch for me.
Good. Let me ask you something about love letters.
Yeah.
Or letters at all. Do you write them?
I do.
Oh, can you tell?
Yeah. I'm a really big thank you note person.
Oh, those are love letters for sure.
Yeah. So I enjoyed writing thank you notes. I mean, I definitely write it for my birthday. If people, you know, give me things or come to my birthday, I enjoy writing thank you notes. I also enjoy writing thank you notes if I just had a good experience.
So there you go. So that's everything I'm talking about.
Yeah. So
let me ask you something. Sometimes, not sometimes, people often, after a big birthday or a celebration or a, you know, Christmas time, whatever it is, oh, I've got to write those thank you notes. And it's a dread experience for so many people.
Yeah.
I love doing them. What do you like about it?
I like doing them too, because I feel like I try to also incorporate something like about the person.
There you
like,
go.
You know, maybe it's not just like, thank you for the candle.
Right.
It's like, oh, thank you for coming. And it was really fun when you did this or whatever. You know, I love doing things like that. But yeah, I mean, this is what I do. If I have to write a bunch of them, I just tell myself, like, you don't have to do them all today. You know,
right.
I take them in like little chunks. I'll bring them in my purse. If I have downtime somewhere, I'll like write a few. And so it's good. So that's how I try to do it. And
that's perfect.
They say you have like a year to write back, right? I don't know.
Oh, you have a year to write them?
Right? I don't know. What is the etiquette?
Oh, okay.
Or no, 3 months or something?
I don't know. But what is the statute of limitations on a thank you? Probably never.
Right. Because
I mean, the only time there is, is if somebody has sent you something and it comes in a package and they need to know that it got delivered.
Yes.
Because they have to,
when that happens.
Right.
When
because
I send
you have
wedding
to,
gifts.
Uh-huh. Those have to come fast, because if it didn't get where it's going, you need to let the store know.
Right.
And actually, how would you graciously and gracefully ask someone who has not written you a thank you note if the gift got to them?
I've had to do that before.
What do you do?
It's very awkward.
It's a little tricky,
you know?
Isn't it?
But it happened with...
Because you have to keep that, you lazy twit, why haven't you written to me,
right,
out of your voice.
Exactly. So it happened with me with my friend's wedding, and I sent them like a bunch of stuff from their registry from like Crate and Barrel, and my boyfriend and I, we've sent a wedding gift from that store, and it has gotten lost before. So
I am
a little paranoid about it. And so I know that I sent the wedding gift and I figured it would get to them around while they were on their honeymoon. So I was worried that it would get stolen.
Oh, the front door problem. Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
So I did alert her that I sent you your gift, but it will probably come while you're away. Will someone be picking up your packages? And she said, yes, don't worry about it. And I was like, great. Well, then like 7-8 months went by and I didn't get a thank you card. And so I just said, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, I'm not asking for anything. I just want to make sure you got the stuff.
Yes.
Because I've had problems with it in the past.
That's exactly what I do. Yeah.
You know, you
what
just got to follow up. And then they're going to say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I haven't had time. I mean, in her case, she wound up getting pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I forgive her for the no thank you card.
Yes. Well, okay. I'm glad you're saying all this. And by the way, the good news is when you talk about how long you have to send a thank you note, I don't really know how long that is. We could look that up, I guess, was proper. But you do have a whole year to send a wedding gift.
Right.
And it's probably a good idea not to send them for the first couple of months.
Right.
So people can get back from the honeymoon or do whatever it is it takes to get kind of ensconced in their new life.
Some people like move.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yeah, I know. It is better to kind of wait.
Yeah. Now, have you ever written... Okay, so about the voice messages that your dad leaves you.
Yeah.
Those are just worth keeping forever, personally for you.
Yeah.
Family history, and also television history.
Yeah.
He's important.
Yeah.
So how are you going to preserve that if you feel like it? And can you transcribe those into written also?
I could, but I feel
it
like
his
it's
voice,
just
right.
so funny.
I just meant as a backup. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's just so funny, like, to hear the way
of course,
he talks
his voice,
and
exactly.
He makes all these, like, funny jokes and he's
I hope you can do that.
Yeah, me too. I did look into it not that long ago, and I don't remember what I found, but
yes.
Otherwise, I could sit with my computer and my garage band and record it.
Oh, yes.
Just hold the phone and do like a couple at a time.
Oh, that would be kind of a nice thing to do. And then you could, as years go on, keep
adding.
Now, that's the thing about the technology, is it changes quickly.
Yeah.
So whatever you think, I mean, there'll come a time when you won't find those on your phone anymore.
Right. I know. And I've switched phones before, and I got really upset and scared that I would lose the voicemails, but they were there.
They've been good.
So, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you can't use your floppy disk. They're all kinds of, see, you're laughing. Everybody laughed. People take one look at those little perfect 3-inch squares, and they crack up because you thought you were going to put something down forever.
Right.
The best storage system seems still to be letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Technology free.
Yeah, that's
good paper
true.
And good ink. Oh, honey, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Yeah, this is so fun.
Pleasure to meet you, hear about your family, and know about you.
Yeah.
So until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Natalie Lander
saying goodbye. And please remember that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, there is one every day. All you have to do is notice it. Talk to you later. Bye.